Tony Sad Productions.
Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me.
Go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.
And when you go hard for the truth, you better watch your back for haters, cause they'll sneak right behind you and look like an actual neighbor. When you got your mind on right, it seems like every day's a doomsday. Last week I found out my enemies, my roommate, don't care about what you say. Wasn't born on last Tuesday, riding all through the night like I never did. Don't be worried about what some fools say. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard.
I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.
Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33, and today is Moon Day, January Janus Day. You guys know who Janus is, right? Janus Day, January 5th of 2015. Wow, moving right along, 2015, and the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the Word of God, the Word of Yahuwah and His Son, Yahushua. So today, my sister, we want to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify what I call the fifth element. The fifth element, or the missing element, is what some call the Apocrypha, or the Apocrypha. Some call it the lost books, or the lost book of the Bible. Now, like all of these messages, my brothers and sisters, this has nothing to do with salvation. Today's message, like all of my messages, is a Hebrews 6:1 message. This message is not for new believers. This message comes with a warning. This message could be very dangerous to your theology if you are a new believer and you don't over, under, and understand that we must go on past the basic teachings of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Then this message may cause deformation instead of transformation. So like everything must be done with prayer and supplication. Make your request made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. See, I don't have the issue that most people have because I submit all of my requests to God. I don't submit my no request to man. So I'm not here for your approval or disapproval. I'm not here for you to like me or dislike me. My only emphasis, my only concern is making sure that I study to show myself approved unto God, not unto man. I humbly, respectfully submit that you do the same thing. In 2015, what you will see and what you will find is a separation from the sheep and the goat, the wheat from the tares. The people that have a true, authentic aletheia, people that really, really, really have a love of the Christ. My brothers and my sisters, there are two gospels of Christ's infancy that are what we call problematic. There's a problem. The Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in 19, what, 45, 46, whatever word. Those Dead Sea Scrolls was not submitted unto mankind. Nobody knows what's on them. They're a part of the missing element. As you may or may not know, I've done a lot of time studying history. I wanted to major in history. And I found out that you don't, as a history major, you don't really make no money. Back in those days, I was chasing mammon. I wasn't chasing truth. But during my studies in history, I stumbled across Vespasian and his son Titus and Josephus Bar Matthias, who changed his name to Flavinus Josephus. He's the writer of all of your gospels, contrary to popular belief. Now, you can argue, you can debate. I humbly suggest that you do the research. Talk to anybody that has done any type of research. While you follow emotionalism, or some people follow emotionalism, while some people get caught up in fluff, I make sure that my feet are on the ground and my heads are in the clouds. I make sure that I use science and spirituality. I make sure that I'm not in this because I have a belief system. I don't care what the truth is, as long as I am following it, as long as I have it. So I am not married to a belief system. I am married to the God that wrote it, that man has manipulated it. So I see through the smoke and mirrors because I've been on both sides of the fence. I know Christ is above all. The problem that you and many people have is in the biblical gospels, there are examples of Yahushua, whom some call Jesus Christ, that waters down his toughness, for lack of a better word, like the ideal of him driving the money changers out of the temple and his response to his mother at the wedding of the feast of Canaan or Cana, when he changed the water into wine in John chapter 2, verse 4. And it says, in that verse, it read something along the lines of this woman. What have I to do? This is Yahushua saying, talking to his mother. He didn't call her by her name. He says, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. John chapter 2, verse 4. But we see that these accounts of the infancy of the gospel and the true authentic militant messianic movement that was stricken from the book by Flavinus Josephus or Josephus Bar Matthias, whom I've talked about on many shows. They don't display this in the Gospels. You won't find this toughness. You won't find this militant mentality. You find a jellyback, weak, watered-down version of Yahushua. They don't display the true authentic Judaism that we talked about that comes from Judah, one of the sons, whom Yahushua chose him, or the father, the invisible father, chose Judah not because of his morality, but because of his purpose. So while you're interested in moralism and you judge men based upon their moral worth or lack thereof, you fail to notice that God makes vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. That God uses the weakness. God uses the simple to confound the wise. In my weakness, brother, in my weakness I am made strong. So while you see my flaws as a weakness, God sees my flaws as a strength. The same way he saw the flaws of Judah, who basically came up with the idea to make money off the back of his own brother, who came up with the idea to sleep with his own son's daughter. Was this a moral man? Are there any moral men? The scripture tells me there's none righteous, no, not one. But yet what you have is a gospel that's based on morality, not purpose. I don't know if you understand, my brothers and sisters, how you've been hoodwinked into believing something that is not true. There is none righteous, no, not one. What you are going after is a fictitious gospel because the original has been watered down. So what we must find, brothers and sisters, and what we must look and what we must search, is I'm not sitting here up here trying to promote some type of excuse for you to engage in the lust of your flesh, because there is no flesh. You see, for example, when we look at Yahushua, when he was a boy, in all of these lost books, we find something. We find righteous indignation. Nobody talks about that. We find anger. We find a young boy, Yahushua, in his anger, he causes a boy to fall down dead. Then we see that various members of his community accuse him of murder. And then we see that he causes them to go blind. You won't find that in no scriptures nowhere. See, it is not difficult to see why these types of scriptures were omitted from the Bible, because it takes away the militaristic Messiah that's talked about before the Assyrians, before the Babylonian captivity. What did the gospel, what did Judaism consist of before the Assyrians, before the Babylonians, and before the Romans? Have you ever investigated it? You ever looked into it? Have you ever looked into who Judah was? The tribe of Judah? Yahushua says, I come for the lost sheep of the tribe of Judah only. Then after I get them, I might come back for the other sheep. Have you not read in your gospels? What we must find, brothers and sisters, if we are true and if we are honest with ourselves, we will find something that's wrong. Something's missing. But how? When? Where? We've got to turn to our good friends, the Romans. History is written by the winners of history, not the losers. The Romans were conquerors, kind of like the United States is today. In the book of Thomas, one of my favorite books, in section 31, it says, no prophet is honored in his homeland. No physician heals those who know him well. Let me say that again, brother. Let me say that again, sister. No physician heals those who know him well. Let me say that one more time. No physician heals those who know him well. So the more you know me, the less you're able to learn from me. Because if you think that you know me, and then I come on the show and I expose my flaws to you, and you say, oh, man, I don't believe that brother. That brother got too many. Look at him. So the more you know me, the more you get to know me, the less you believe me. So we have to go back, and we have to start back from first base, which is what I do on every show. I try to get you to go back to over and understand something that is profound. The heritage of Judaism and Christianity. As I talked about on yesterday's show, you can go to Google right now and you can type in the heritage of Judaism, or you can type in esoteric Judaism. And you can click on images and it will show you that pretty much 90% of the world's religions today came from Judah. Not the other 11 brothers, not Benjamin. Not Reuben, Judah. And so some of these books were taken out of the Bible by Constantine at the Council of Nicaea. Again, Roman. And so my brothers and my sisters, we have to look at these quote-unquote gospels. What you will find in this study, if we were to go through this study, now I have the book, the title of the book is called The Lost Books of the Bible. I mean, you could pick it up for a couple of bucks. I bought this copy for, I think, like $5 at a used bookstore. You can go online. You can type in the lost books of the Bible. It's like any book. It got some good stuff in it, and it got some bad stuff in it. That's why you need to read it with a discerning eye. But the thing that I like about this book, and the thing that I like about the Holy Spirit, the thing I like about grace and love, the thing I love about God, the incomprehensible God, not maybe, you know, I don't know if me and you serve the same God. Maybe we do or maybe we don't. But the God that I serve is incomprehensible. He's not on this planet. So therefore, any definition that you have of God doesn't really apply to the God that I serve, because the God that I serve is incomprehensible. That's what he says. That's not what I said. He says that all good gifts come down from the incomprehensible Father of lights. And the reason that he's incomprehensible is because this world that we live in has an atmosphere around it, an atmosphere. I don't know if you know anything about the atmosphere, but if you look at it from a scientific perspective, you will find that the atmosphere blocks out some of the quote-unquote harmful rays of the sun. Who said they were harmful? Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but there are certain rays of the sun that could cause, you know, carcinoma and melanoma and some of the cancers and all this other good stuff. But then there is some people that have the ability to absorb all of the rays of the sun, and then some people don't. Excuse me. That's another study for another time, because there are some people that are able to absorb all of the books of the gospel, and there's some people that can't. Because there are some vessels of honor, and then there's some vessels of dishonor. It's important and imperative that you know what vessel that you are. Now, I didn't ask to be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. But what I did was I asked the Father the same thing that the guy that was sitting at the, I forgot the exact scripture, but he said something that is profound that I will say to you today. In this scripture, he says, even dogs, the crumbs that fall. In fact, you know, we got to look this scripture up. It was a Canaanite woman, if I remember. Father, what was it? I know it was in Matthew, the story. Let's go back. Too profound to gloss over. Matthew chapter 15, the Canaanite woman. Matthew chapter 15, and hopefully this is the correct story, verse 25. But she came and she began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and he said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. See, I was one of those dogs, brothers. I was one of those dogs, sisters. And so I couldn't sit at the table. I was a dog because I was an immoral man. I was immoral because of what I saw and what I seen, what I was exposed to. So I didn't ask to have that happen to me, but it did. So I learned that, hey, if life gives me lemons, I'm going to make lemonade. And the reason why this is important is because life has given us something, but it's not given us everything. There's a missing element. This missing element is found in these lost books. Now, most people don't understand what I mean, so let's look at what it says in the book of Matthew, because Matthew is one of the books that was given to us by Vespasian and his son Titus. That's the true father and the true son. Now, I know that's probably contrary to your theology, but maybe you haven't done enough research about Catholicism. Maybe you haven't researched anything about Flavius Josephus or Josephus Bar Matthias. I humbly, respectfully submit that you do a little research about Roman history, which is now your history, in every history book on the planet. So the thing that should be burning in your brain is everything that you read, somebody approved it. Do you actually think they're going to let you read anything that they haven't approved? Even the lost books of the Bible that we have, you think these are the only one? They said that in the Qumran caves, there was over 900 parchments, 30 of which was released. What happened to the other 860 or whatever, 70? Where they at? You never read them. So you must depend upon the Holy Spirit. Because again, these books, I don't need no book. Because God wrote his law on my heart and in my mind. And my heart and my mind tells me something's wrong. My heart and my mind tells me that broad is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the road that leads to righteousness. That's what my heart and my mind tells me. And then I read in some of these lost books that talks about, especially the Gospel of Thomas, where it says, unless you abstain from the world, you will not find the kingdom. Unless you honor the Sabbath, you will not see the Father. That's in the Gospel of Thomas. But the Gospel of Thomas, which is the fifth element, which is the fifth gospel, is not inside of, it's not like a canonized book. So you will never read that. The Gospel of Thomas also says in section 23, I shall choose one from 1,000, and I shall choose two from 10,000, and they shall stand in unity. Okay, let's understand one out of 1,000, two out of 10,000. So the greater the number, the smaller the conversion rate. There are many called brothers, but there's few that are chosen. One in 1,000, two out of 10,000? Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the road that leads to righteousness. So like this Canaanite woman, excuse me, who came before Yahushua and presented herself, at least that's what they, you know, this is the gospel, this is the story that they are allowing us to see, but we got to see without seeing. We got to hear without hearing. What is it truly saying? Matthew 15, 26, 25 says, but she came and she began to bow down before him. See, that's what I did, saying, Lord, help me. I did that too. I knew something was wrong. I didn't know what, but I knew something was wrong. And he answered and he said unto her, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Verse 27, I love this verse. Matthew 15, verse 27. This is my verse. Matthew 15, 27. But she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed off the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Even the dogs have a right to the crumbs that fall from the master's table. But I love Yahushua's response to the woman, because it's the same response that he gave me on January the 1st of 2009. Matthew 15, 28. Then Jesus said unto her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. You see, brothers and sisters, all my life, almost 50 years before the light came on, and I started reading these lost books of the Gospels that they tell you don't read. And maybe that's correct. Maybe that's true. Maybe you shouldn't read it. But inside of these books, there's a reason why Constantine did not want you to read these books. So what you will find, again, is a eschatological study of Christianism, Judaism, and all of the other isms that are out there. But there were some authority figures who omitted, for good reasons, this miniaturized Christos Judaism. Because the peasants was rising up against the priest. The peasants outnumbered the priest. So how can you control someone without killing them, without weapons? The same thing that they're doing today. You got to get somebody to buy into a system that is not conducive to their own health. We talked about a spiritual parasite on yesterday's show. How humanity is the only species, if you want to use that word, on the planet that does things that is not in their own spiritual interest. No other species, no other animal, no other plant, nothing on earth that lives engages in activities that actually destroys them, makes them weak, or makes them dependent upon a pharmaceutical host. It's not in your biological, it's not in your electrical, it's not in your chemical, it's not in your soul's best interest for you to engage in certain religious activities, but yet you engage in those religious activities because you have a parasite, and a parasite attaches itself to the host to steal, kill, and to destroy. it sucks the nutrition from its carrier. So religion teaches you to rely upon something outside of yourself, not the flesh self, but the spiritual self. Now, there is an interesting question that naturally arises as to why these writings were taken out from the selection of the material that has come down. When they got together to compile the Bible, quote unquote, who was selected? When we look at the evolution of this thing that you call Christianity, when we look at the formulation, if you will, of the early beliefs and the formulation of the early church doctrines, there was a lot of jealousy. There was a lot of persecution, a lot of bigotry. When we look at the Crusades, when we look at the Dark Ages, when we look at the Great Awakening, when you look through the Christian history, you find some very interesting things that took place. Now, no one can deny that under the circumstances, a lot of the quote-unquote writings, a lot of the things that became the authorized version, a lot of the stories, a lot of the stuff didn't fit at the first Council of Nicaea. When Arius was commanded by the Bishop of Alexandria to quit his beliefs or be declared a heretic, and all of his writings were ordered to be destroyed, as were everything else was ordered to be destroyed. Now, Napoleon did the same thing when he went into Egypt. They went straight. The United States did the same thing in Gulf and war. I mean, I was in the military. When we went over to Iraq, first thing we did, we went to Saddam's palace. Underneath his palace, his home, he had his own personal library. We didn't go over there for, we did nothing except we destroyed all of the ancient texts. Saddam had some writings that was, how can we put this delicately, possibly contrary to Christianity. So why would we go over there if we was in a war for oil or war for, you know, to save lives? We was in a war because there was weapons of mass destruction. Why would we go over there and destroy his library and all of his ancient artifacts? Now, this is, you can go to Google, you can do the research, talk to anybody who was in the first Gulf War, Bush 1, not Bush 2. When we first got to Iraq, what did we do? We went straight to Saddam's home, and we destroyed the museums. We destroyed the books. We burned books in libraries, and we destroyed, ask anybody that was in the military, anybody in the infantry, they'll tell you. You might want to ask yourself why. They did the same thing in Nicaea. Napoleon did the same thing. Every war, they do the same thing. They come in, the people that lose the war, their history is destroyed. Same thing happened when Galilee, who invaded and destroyed Galilee? Vespasian and his son Titus. What did they do after they invaded Galilee? Now, you do know that Yahushua was from Galilee, right? They went to Jerusalem. They sought Jerusalem. They said there wasn't one stone that was not left on top of each other. When they left Jerusalem, the next thing that they did, they gathered together all of the Judaism, all of the Jews, all the people who practiced Judaism. They killed them. Or they made them convert. Now, the Bible tells us that in Matthew 23, New Testament. Anybody who converts is twofold more a candidate of hell than they were before their conversion. That's in your Bible, in the book of Matthew, chapter 23. I've read it many times. Anybody who's converted by a scribe or a Pharisee, you got a pharmaceutical spirit now. That's what I had. I had a counterfeit conversion. So the devil has transformed himself into an angel of light. He's transformed his demons into ministers. How did you get converted, brother? How did you get converted, sister? I mean, I'm just asking the question. Because there's something that we need to add to our conversion for it to become authentic. If we don't add it, we are missing the fifth element. You say, brother, what do you mean? Let's look at the light of the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. We're still talking about these lost books. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 tell me, and even as our gospel is veiled. Hold up, time out. What do you mean our gospel is veiled? Oh, you didn't know it was veiled? So you think you got an authentic gospel? So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 tells me that even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. See, that was me. I was a dog. I was perishing. I knew I was perishing. I was sitting down. I was eating the crumbs off the master's table, and the master was like, oh, hey, get away, dude. This is not for you. I said, man, even though I'm a vessel of dishonor, I still want to know the truth. He's like, oh, you do? Man, I haven't seen such a good. So you're a vessel of dishonor, but you want to know what's on the table. That's what I said. That's what I prayed. See, I accepted the fact that something is not right with what I got. But see, you haven't done that. Not you personally, of course, but you know somebody that you know maybe. See, you believe that you already got the gospel. That's the number one trick of the devil. Why would you look for something you already got? You already got the truth, right, brother? You already got the truth, right, sister? So you stopped looking. You stopped studying. I talk to Reverend, like the bishops every day. They have Matthew 23 individuals. So this gospel is veiled because they ain't looking. What do you think I'm doing right now? What do you think I did before this show? What do you think I'm going to do after this show? I'm going to keep looking. Now I know you already got it. You already got the truth. You already got God. You know God. God fits conveniently inside your box. See, I don't know who God is, but I know who he ain't. I know he ain't what you got. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 tells me, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. You perishing because you already got something. You ain't looking no more. Verse 4 tells me, in whose case the God of this world, you serve the God of this world, brother. You serve the God of this world. He's the creative. He's not the creator. I used to serve him too. That's how I know you serve him. Because the same attributes I have, now I see them in you. You do the same thing that I used to do. And so I turn my back on everything that I used to do. And I volunteered. I said, man, you know what? Send me to hell. So I went back into the world. I would rather go to hell today instead of serve a lie. I refuse to accept watered-down Christianity. I need a militant gospel. Because that's what was before they gave us this jelly bag stuff that you got. I don't need no emotionalism. I don't want to turn over no chairs. I'm not interested in shouting. I'm not interested in holding on, brother, because my blessing is coming. I'm not holding on no more. I don't want no blessings. There's nothing in this world that appeases me. So therefore, the devil don't have no carrot anymore. But see, he got a carrot. You got a carrot. He knows you got a carrot. That's the only control he got. Until you get rid of all your carrots, you serve the gospel of this world. That's what it says in the book of Thomas. But, oh, yeah, that's right. The gospel of Thomas is not in the book. So you've never read the gospel of Thomas. So you don't know friendship with this world makes you an enemy of God. You don't know in the gospel of Thomas where it says in section 26, you see the mote within your brother's eye, but you do not see the beam within your own eye. Now, that's also in the scriptures. Once you have extracted the beam from your own eye, you can remove the mote from your brother's eye. That's all I did. The Gospel of Thomas says in section 27, unless you abstain from the world, you will not find the kingdom. Oh, wow, we got a problem. We got a serious problem. How many people listening to this show is abstaining from the world? myself included. See, unless you abstain from the world, you won't find the kingdom. Because why? The kingdom ain't in this world, brother. The kingdom ain't in this world, sister. Now, I know you think it is, but let me let you in on a secret. It's not here. The kingdom of God is within. That's what the scripture says. That's what the lost books of the Bible say. But the lost books of the Bible tells you how to go within and find the kingdom. But you won't find it in the canonized version. They took that part out. See, unless you honor the Sabbath, you will not see the Father. That's what it says in the lost books. The lost books of the Bible says, I stood in the midst of the world, and I found everyone drunk and none thirsty. See, that's what I see, brother. That's what I see, sister. I'm looking around right now in the world, and everybody's drunk off the world. Everybody got big cars, big houses. Everybody's full. Everybody got holidays. They ain't got no holy days. Everybody got the cares. They love their wives more than they love God. If my wife left me tomorrow, how many tears would you see rolling down my face? I love my children. I pray to God for their success. But if my children turn their back on me tomorrow, I'll be partying. You won't find no tears rolling down my cheeks. If they repossess my car, if they kick me out of my house, if armed bandits rush into my home and put a gun to my head, I will help them pull the trigger. I don't know if you really understand the level of my disdain for this world. See, a lot of people play church, brother. A lot of people play church, sister, but they ain't got to the point where I'm at today. So I don't have time, brother. I don't have time, sister. A lot of people like time. They waste time. You will find me very angry when you waste my time because I understand what it is. I need every second to study. If I ain't sleeping, I'm studying. Ask my wife. Ask my children. They'll tell you. Ask anybody who know what I do. They ask, where Will at? That knucklehead is sitting at a computer, staring at a screen, searching for something. What the hell are you looking for? Nobody else is looking. See, I'm standing in the midst of the world, and I see everybody's drunk. There is nobody thirsty. Everybody got Jesus Christ already. You know him, right? You got a personal, private relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't have that. Why? I'm not satisfied. I am not satisfied with my relationship with God. I'm not satisfied with my level of understanding. I'm not satisfied. I know a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. I've read a lot of books, talked to a lot of devils and demons, hung out with them. See, I'm not scared of no devil or no demon. They show up at my house, we sit down and we drink coffee. I tell them, hey, yeah, pull up a chair, man, let's talk. Because why should I fear? When I walk to the valley of shadow and death, I don't fear no evil. Really? Why am I afraid of you? I got the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I see through all of that fluff, man. You got to come with something else. I'm not thirsty. It's important, my brother, because the lost books say, when my soul is sorry for all the sons of men because they are blind in their hearts, they cannot realize that they have come empty into this world and they must leave it empty. Now they are drunk. But when they renounce the wine, then they will repent. The lost books of the Bible, the Gospel of Thomas also states something in section 29 that's profound. It says, if the flesh came into being for the sake of the spirit, that is a mystery. Let me say that again. If the flesh was created for the spirit, that is a mystery. But Gospel of Thomas, section 29. But if the spirit was created, excuse me, or came into being for the sake of the body, that is a wondrous miracle. And how did such great wealth make its home, I wonder, in such poverty? Gospel of Thomas. Let me say the last section again. How did such great wealth, spirit, find itself in such great poverty, body? Let me say that again in case you missed it. How did such great wealth, spirit, find itself trapped or in such poverty, body? That's in the lost books of the Bible. You won't find that in the canonized version. So you say, okay, brother, no, that sounds great, man, but, you know, I'm not impressed. I got the 66 books of the Bible. That's all I need. That's what everybody tells me. Man, where do you read all that stuff? I don't need all the extra stuff. See, have you ever studied the Bishop of Alexandria? You need research on the Bishop of Alexandria? I don't know if y'all understand. There were bad people in this world who did bad things. They were empowered by the God of this world, by jinns and by mojos, by sprites. Where do you think they get their wisdom or gnosis or knowledge from? See, the Bishop of Alexandria, also known as the Pope of Alexandria, he was the highest-ranking bishop of Egypt and of the Orthodox Church. They had bishops in Egypt? I thought they had pharaohs in Egypt. See, I don't know if you understand. You might want to check out the list of the patriarchs of Alexandria and the Bishop of Alexandria, the secretary of the Bishop of Alexandria. You see, my brothers and sisters, inside of the history, you'll find some very shocking and some very important things. That this Bishop of Alexandria forced people to say and do certain things. See, good men being Judaism, Christians, were engaged on both sides of the fence in order to save their hides. One of those good men, Josephus Bar Matthias. The reason I mention him so much, because all of the books come from his writings. So about two-thirds of the stuff that was taken out of the Bibles was taken out by people like Herod, Pontius Pilate, Tiberius Caesar, the Alexandrians, the Flavins, F-L-A-V-I-N-S. I've talked about them on many shows, the Flavins. That's where Josephus got his name from. They wrote what you believe. Let me rephrase that. They helped to develop the canon of the New Testament. Now, brothers and sisters, the Bishop of Alexandria, people don't really understand the, how can I put this? That was a quote that one read, says, those who maintain, there was a time when the sun was not the God of this world. Let me say it again. That's a quote that says, there was a time when the sun was not the God of this world. Now, brothers and sisters, when we look at challenging the Orthodox, when we look at the what is called Arminianism, when we look at the Bishop Alexander of Alexandria, when we look at the timeline, when we look at history, when we look at the how the bishops, how the council was set up, when we look at how the newly converted emperor, Constantine the Great, let me rephrase that. Let me say it one more time. That was, in history, a controversy that spread over the entire Roman Empire. It was said that back in those times that, if you look at some of the ancient texts, Christians could be heard singing a catchy Armenian tune. And the name of that tune was, "That was a time when the sun was not. That was a time when the sun was not." They said that, according to history, that they used to sing that song. They used to sing another song. It says, the bishop was contending against the bishop. So the word got out that that was a new convert. Emphasis on the word convert. Remember, according to Matthew 23, if you are converted by a scribe or a Pharisee, you are twofold more a candidate of hell before your conversion. So Emperor Constantine the Great was converted. Who converted him? So he was converted, so now he was able to see the theological truth. He wanted to remove the division that was in the church. So he told these bishops, "Hey, let's get a council of bishops together." So he got together 1,800 bishops. They was invited to Nicaea. Now you go to Google, type this in. This is history. Now out of the 1,800 bishops that was invited to Nicaea, 300 came. And they argued and they fought and they eventually agreed upon the early version of the Nicene Creed. Now the Council of Nicaea was led by Alexander. Ah, my boy. Alexander. So we have, if there is nothing that you don't get from this message, research Herod, King Herod. There were the Herods, there was the Alexanders, and there was the Flavians. If you want to do anything, if you want to blow your cookies, research those three families. Alexander, Herod, Flavins. What you will find will blow your cookies. Because what you will find is Constantine was a very happy convert because he brought peace between the peasants and the priest. He restored the gospel, or quote-unquote, the church. So he laid the foundation of the Orthodox party inside of Nicaea, and he was called, or he was hailed, according to some history books, the noble champion of Christ. Really? So we got a Roman who had a conversion. Now he's the champion of Christ? And so now we got Romans promoting Christianity, Judaism. And so Constantine the Great, at the Council of Nicaea, established something that we call the canonization. Now, my brothers and sisters, the story goes on and on. There's another gentleman by the name of Saint Anthony. There's a great book called The Life of Saint Anthony, that gets into helped to shape what is called monotheism again. The book is a dangerous book, has a lot of stuff in there, but it helps because, again, it's a historical understanding of the pagan infiltration into Judaism, which we've talked about before, nothing new. So these lost books that's not in the Bible help gives you a better understanding of how this paganism infiltrated this idea that we call Judaism that turned into Christianity. And so in these lost books gives you the ability to examine the books of scriptures to help you to see clearly or to see more clearly. Do you need these lost books? No. Will they help? They help me because of my calling. Now, maybe you're not called to be a master teacher. So maybe you're not debating Reverend Dr. Bishops like I do or talking to them. Maybe you don't have to deal with people who come from generational Satanism. And they can't see because it's interwoven. So you don't need my level of understanding. But when I talk to a Satanist, whose mother was a Satanist, whose father was a Satanist, whose grandfather was a Satanist, when I talk to somebody who's in hoodoo, when I talk to somebody who's in voodoo, when I talk to somebody from West Africa, from the West Indies, and they come from a lineage where they got familiar spirits, where the family, where the sins of the father is passed down to the sons, and I sit down and I talk to them, I got to be able to go in there and I got to be able to show them the modus operandi of the Cosmoglottor. So you may not understand why I have to read these books. So the reading of these lost books, again, is important because it helps me to master, because everybody, what you will find in 2015 is people are going to challenge. You will leave guaranteed. There is some proof. When you get to my level of understanding, you will not believe in Jesus Christ. So people ask me all the time, brother, why do you still believe in Yahushua? When there's scientific evidence, there's proof, they created Jesus Christ. Titus and Vespasian created a fictitious character. There's astrotheology using the stars that proves that Yahushua, Jesus the Christ, is not real. But what they fail to remember, and what you may fail, is that astrotheology is based upon Babylonian, Assyrian, Roman astrotheology. So I didn't get my understanding. But if I had to stop studying, like a lot of people did, I would have joined the Egyptology movement. And I would have, now people pray for me all the time. They say, brother, I'm praying for you, brother. Because you're reading this stuff, brother, and it's dangerous. You mean to tell me the God that I serve is not more powerful than something written in a book? But, brother, you know, demons and devils going to show up. You know, you got sigils and you're doing this and you did that. And so, you know, hold on, time out. So you mean to tell me the God that I serve is not more powerful to let me know that I shouldn't be serving him? I should be serving whatever's powerful than him. That's my way of thinking. Now, some people say, brother, that's dangerous. I just believe that if there is a God that's more powerful than my God, why am I serving that God? I'm going to go serve the other God. Now, most people don't think like me. That's okay. You're not called to the masses like me. You have to know that. You got to study to show yourself approved. So I understand the missing shin. Most people don't. I don't sell that book no more. You can't even buy. I won't even sell you the book, The Missing Shin. I sold that book to people and they blew their cookies. People cannot wrap their brain around the fact that the God of this world uses the system of this world that was designed to bring about your salvation. He just took out the shin. He took out the yurt. And so now he used four-dimensional physics to create a three-dimensional reality or prism that keeps you trapped from the fifth element. Now, it is my job to understand that so I can share that with people who are trapped inside this three-dimensional prison using math, music, and language. So I got to show you the three dimensions first so that way you can understand the four dimensions. This is where everybody's at right now. Everybody is talking about the four. That's why physics, that's why science, that's why the book that I just released called Technocrats or Technonics. Now, most people didn't buy that book because they don't understand what's in it. And so you don't understand how technology and electronics, because you never researched the cathode ray tube. Now, there's a website, a good friend of mine, Brother Roman, posted it on Facebook, called the Mysterious Gray Box. It's in your house right now. Have you ever researched the television, how it came into being? Now, this information is free. And I got it inside of my book, but, you know, I know you're not going to read my book. But you go to Google, and you can type it in for yourself, the Mysterious Gray Box. Now, Brother Roman posted the website on there, one of the websites. Now, all of this information is inside of my book, Technonics, How the Technocrats Are the New Spiritual Slaves or Spiritual Dictators of the World. So you say, well, brother, what does that mean? Many people believe that technology is their friend. Now, where did I get this from? Lost books of the Bible. Now, did it actually say it like technology will be used in the end times to enslave my people? No, it did not. But the Spirit told me when I was reading, this is going to be manifested in technology. Now, in the book of Revelation, it said that the great men in the end time will control the world through sorcery. But everybody said, oh, sorcery, oh, okay, that's mystical. But when you look it up in the Greek, in the Hebrew, it means pharmakeia. Pharmakeia means pharmacy. Now, everybody knows a pharmacist, right? Anybody know a pharmacist? Has anybody heard of a medical doctor? Medical. Sorcery. Doctor. Deity. Now, so I have a book that breaks this down. But I know you probably haven't bought it. It's called Pharmakeia. So this is what the powers that be are using. This is what the technocrats are using. But the pharmakeia now isn't in the form of medication because they know you're hip to the game. So now they got nanobots. They got nanotechnology. So these are microscopic. In fact, you can barely even see them with a microscope. The human eye cannot even see it. But it goes into the body and it self-replicates. So it's technology, not pharmakeia. But it's still pharmakeia because the technology carries the pharmakeia, the sorcery, the medicine into the body, injects it into your DNA, and it rearranges the nucleotides of your DNA. So therefore, you don't even know that you are doing, your behavior changes. You used to be a good guy, and now all of a sudden your behavior changes. You don't even know why. You wake up every day, and you're like, man, why am I pissed off? You got money, you got a car, you know, got a beautiful wife. Everything going great and you pissed off. You angry. Ideas come into your head to go hurt somebody. You're like, why am I thinking this? You don't want to do it, but you don't know that your DNA nucleotides have been rearranged. And now, so now you're a sociopath. You need to understand that you've been regened. So Yahushua came. That's why Yahushua is here. So without these lost books, these lost books represent what I call the missing element, the fifth element. So, brother, what does that mean? Hebrews 4:12. So inside of the canonized Bible, now that's two words you should look up. Please, man, I wish I had the time. Why do they call it canonized, brothers? Y'all got to start studying to show yourself approved. Why do they call it canon? What's a canon? You ever looked it up? So we got the canonized version of the Bible, canonized. And then the authorized version. Now, the word canonized, it means canonical. It means, excuse me, it means to place something within a canon. Now, brothers and sisters, it means to approve. It means authorize. It means a lot of stuff. But if you go down to the bottom of the page, again, dictionary.com, any good dictionary, look at the word canonized. It means to place in a canon or calendar. It's a medieval term. So the word canonized has to do with canon or calendar. So they are putting, it has to do with church rule. So, canonized come from canon. Canon means the rule of law enacted by a council. It means a body of eschatological law. Canon. Excuse me. Now, canon, again, bottom of the page, the original definition. So, canon comes from Cain. Anybody heard of Cain? I'm just saying. You ever heard of a guy named Cain? So the word canon means church law. It means canon. It means Classical Latin, it means a measured line, linear, not celestial, not circular. It's a Greek word. It means a straight rod or a bar. It means a reed, R-E-E-D. It means a decree of the church, not of anything about God. So you got the canonized version that was authorized by King Jimmy. But you never looked at the word canon or canonized. That if we trace it all the way down, basically because it comes from Cain, which means a rod. Now, I've done many shows on the Hollywood. Now, Cain, other than the biblical character Cain, it also means stick or staff. So there's this Hollywood or this holly tree. So when we trace it all the way back, the word cane also means reed, R-E-E-D. It means spear. So there's a reed, there's a spear. Then it comes back to a Sumerian. Remember the Sumerian text? And an Assyrian word. So canon, cane is an Assyrian. Now, the Assyrians were one of the was the group of people that conquered the Judaism of the Jews, along with the Babylonians, then the Romans. And so the Assyrians is an Assyrian term. It's a Samaritan term. It means needless. It means to bind or to bend with a stick. So you got to canonize. And if you continue breaking it down a little further, you find Cain and you find Calamus. C-A-L-A-M-U-S. Calamus. Now, that's a whole other study for another time. We don't have time to break down or to get into Calamus or Cain. Well, we're all familiar with Cain. But then the basic thing we need to understand when we're talking about terms, again, the hex is a linguistical hex. That's what you're in. We all learn it. If you're in this world, if you breathe in this air, if you are under the canopy, inside of the circle, inside of the kirka, inside of the church. Church is not a building, brother. Church is the atmosphere. We're all in it. We're all in the same, but you got to get out of it. That's what the lost books of the Bible did for me. Helped me to see the calamus. Rotten cane. It's a reed. R-E-E-D. All of these are terms from one word. The Bible was there. Why did they canonize it? Why did they just didn't put it together? Why did it got to be canonized? And then after it was canonized, it was authorized. Why did it got to be authorized? Why can't we just have a book? No, brothers and sisters. The enemy is the most cunning. So now you are under a linguistical, you are under a hexagram. It's a charm or a spell using letters to promote sex. It's a sexagram. Now, like most people, you say, brother, come on, man, what you smoking? That's just one part of it. What about the hexagon, math, or the hexachord? Music. Man, this thing is so deep. So the word authorized, it means given or endowed with authority. Authorized. The word authorized, again, dictionary.com, authorized, it means to authorize or to give authority, again, medieval term, means author. So the word authorized comes from the word, basic word, author. The word author, I'm an author. Okay, I got 50 books now. That's a person who writes. Okay, I'm familiar with that. It's a literary work. Literary. Ooh, you ever looked at that word, literary? Since we don't have the time to break down every word, one of these words, because we're talking about the lost books. These lost books have something that these other books don't, that helps you see through the smoke and the mirrors. Why? It's a fifth-dimensional book. It's not four-dimensional physics. Ah. So you can rise above the cane. You can rise above the hex. You can rise above the author. Now, the word altar comes from a Latin word, upter, A-U-C-T-O-R. It means progenitor. Oh, wow, why I heard that word before, progenitor. Oh, yeah, that's the English word for the Greek word that means father. So whoever is the authorized, he's your progenitor. So King Jimmy, he's your progenitor. Now, maybe, just maybe, you never heard of a progenitor cell. Go to Google, type in the word progenitor cells, type in stem cells. Now, the Greek word pater gives us the English word progenitor. That is the foundational word for the English word authorized. Somebody wants to be your progenitor. That's what the authorized version means. Father. Hold up. The Bible says they call no man father. So why you walk around talking about words that have a spiritual father that you invite into your house called King Jimmy? He your daddy. The word authorized means father, means progenitor. It means the originator. It means the creator. It means, I'm reading this from dictionary.com. It means founder. It means master. The Bible says called no man master. King Jimmy, they know what they're doing. The rabbit trail goes deep, brother. It goes deep, sister. You don't get out of this. Nobody get out of this hex unless you got a late yah. People ask me all the time, brother, how you find this stuff? I get on my knees and I did what the Canaanite woman said. I said, I'm a dog. I'm lost. I'm wretched. But even a dog deserves crumbs off the master's table. That's what I told the master. I said, give me some crumbs, master. Give me some crumbs. I didn't pray to no little demigod in no book. The God I pray to don't even exist on this planet. He is not here. The cosmogrator structured him out. He allowed that to happen. Now, I've heard this inside of my book, The Cosmogrator. Some of y'all brought it and read it, and you didn't believe it. I'm glad you didn't believe it. I didn't believe it either. It took me 20 years to believe it. It's probably going to take you 40. It's okay. But as long as you have a love of the truth, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. You ain't got to listen to me. All you got to do is have one thing. That's it. All you have to have is one thing. Not a love of money, not a love of women, not a love of cars and houses. You got to have a love of the truth. Not a truth. You can't love a truth. There's a lot of truths out there. Egyptology is a truth. Buddhism is a truth. Sufism is a truth. The Kabbalah is a truth. You can get any of them. You probably got a couple already. I'm interested in a truth. Either give me truth, give me the truth, or give me death. Have you prayed that prayer? I triple dare you to pray that prayer. I don't recommend you praying that prayer. Because when you pray that prayer, if you are serious, if you are authentic, your life as you know it will change drastically. You start reading cray-cray stuff like me. And now you'll be able to see through all of the instigators. And you'll see the real, true progenitor. That's what the Bible says, called no man father, including King James. No disrespect. Never met the dude. But inside of these lost books of the Bibles, lost book of the Bibles, or the Bible books, there's a lot of stuff in there. The main thing is understand that the Emperor Constantine presented the labors of the Council of Nicaea to Christ for his blessing. Really? That's what they tell us. So when we talk about this, brothers and sisters, I'm talking about something that you won't find written in too many books. But the good thing about it, everything I talk about is history. So all you got to do is study history, the true history, and realize and pray and understand that, okay, history has been manipulated. I need a five-dimensional ether. So I understand Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I'm paraphrasing. You want to read it. So when I read Hebrews 4, 12, this is what happens to my brain. The word of God is alive. So I know it says the word of God. It didn't say the word of Constantine. It didn't say the word of King James. It didn't say the word of Vespasian. It didn't say the word of Titus. It didn't say the word of Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. It didn't say the word of gospel, of the gospel of Thomas. So anything that's inside of a letter, I know I'm not interested in it. Because the letter kills, the spirit kills. That's what the Bible says. The Bible that's in your house. It says the letters kill, but you read letters and you talk to me with letters. I don't do letters. So most of the stuff I talk to, when I talk, it doesn't make no sense. Because you can't find a letter to represent it. Because I know the enemy manipulated the letters. So I deal with the ruling disposition that's behind the letters. So it's very, very important, my brothers, when we understand that when we believe that Christ is the Christos, it has to do with the scripture talk about with the lineage of the Levites in the order of Melchizedek. In other words, the spirit that incarnated in Yahushua also must incarnate in you. The Bible says it this way in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you. Notice where the mind is at. Is the mind outside of me? So there is no mind outside of mine that I seek. The mind that I seek is inside of me. That's where I get my information from. So let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. That's what I pray. What do you pray? Do you pray for the Reverend Dr. Bishop to give you a word? Some people tell me, man, I'm going to church, I need to hear a word. Man, you are in danger. Some people listen to this guy or that guy, or this guy or that guy. Now, I appreciate you guys tuning in and listening to my show. But after while you listen to the show, at the end of the show, say, Father, you know, bless Brother Will, you know, appreciate the brother. But I need you to give me some rhema knowledge. Nothing wrong with tuning in to my show. I listen to people all the time, too. But I don't go over, I don't take their word over the word that's in my head. Why? Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, yin and yang. Has the ability to divide spirit, one, soul, two, joint marrow, three, and is a discerner of the thoughts, four, and the intents, five, of the heart. Now, I say this many, many times because it's what the world, is what science calls tachyon energy. I have a book that explains it. Or dark ether. In the movie Thor, they talk about dark ether. They go to this planet, and on this planet, that was dark ether. So they want to figure out. In the movie, it's called, they have this thing called programmable mass or matter. That is what you are. So the movie, the Transformers 4, is a movie about you. You are mass or matter that is programmable. Your mass or matter takes on the shape of your brain. Whatever image, whatever thought held into the brain, your mass or matter solidifies itself into that. Excuse me, scientifically proven. That's what Yahushua is saying. That's what's inside of the lost books of the Bible. Christ lived an example of a life for us. Christ programmed matter. He went, saw water, reprogrammed it into wine. He saw a blind man, he reprogrammed him to a seeing man. Christ was a walking, talking, programmable mass individual. That is what you are. But you don't know it because it's not inside the book. You're looking in the wrong place. God has written his laws. He has not written his laws on tablets of stone any longer. He's written them on the hearts and minds of his people. Are you one of his people? If not, get on your knees and do what the Canaanite woman says. I'm a dog. I don't want to be a dog. Please throw me some crumbs so I can eat them and be regenerated. However you want to word it, it's up to you. But it's important, my brothers and sisters, that we understand that he is our elder brother. He's the firstborn of many brethren. He established an example. Whether he existed or not, man, that's between you and your God. I can biologically prove that he exists using colostrum, using your pineal gland and your pituitary gland. I can use your biology and prove the existence of Christ. I can use biophotons and prove the existence of Christ. I can use bioluminescence and prove the existence of Lucifer. I have that inside of my book, Bioluminescence, using the gene that's inside of your body called a Luciferin gene. Why do you have a gene in your body named after Lucifer that produces cold light? Biologically impossible for light not to produce heat. Let me say it again. Biologically impossible for light, anything that shines, not to also produce heat, unless it's Luciferin. But that's another study for another time. See, the Bible records that Christ was the firstborn of many brethren. Colossians 1:15 says, who is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So you got to the door. Well, you know, I'm not even going down that road. Let me make sure that you understand what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknew, he also did predestinate, or predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, you can't be conformed because you got the wrong image, because you got a canonized image. You got an authorized image. You need the original image of the original, authentic Christ. But it's in the lost books of the Bible, and you haven't read those. So you got an image. You got an image. It's in your head, but that image doesn't give you the power that you need. So you're not militant like me. Now, my militancy is not in action. My militancy is in mental disposition. Let me say that again. You won't see me out marching. You won't see me out picketing. You won't see me out debating. You won't see me arguing. You will see me getting my household in order. You will see me engaging in mental warfare with my own mind, my own will, my own emotion, my own imagination, and my own intellect. You will see me getting the beam out of my own eye before I even think about considering assisting you with the speck in your eye. That's what the lost books of the Bible tells me to do. So these lost books are so paramount. They're so important because they establish a true image. Because if you got the wrong image, because remember, your mass takes on the image that you maintain in your head. So you program your mass. You are programmable mass. That's what all of the movies is telling you. That's what the Bible is telling you. But according to the lost book of the Bible called the Gospel of Thomas, section 28, I stood in the midst of the world, and I found everybody drunk and none thirsty. Then my soul was sorry for all the sons of men, because they are blind in their hearts. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? They cannot realize that they have come empty into the world, and they must leave it empty. Now they are drunk. But when they announce this wine, then they will repent. You got to empty yourself, brother. That's what I did on January the 1st of 2009. See, you've been filled up with a bunch of stuff. Where you get your stuff from, brother? I know where you got it from. You got it from the authorized, canonized. You never looked at the definition of the word canonized. You never looked at the definition of the word authorized. In fact, never looked at no definitions of no words. I didn't either. I didn't know life and death was in the power of my tongue. So now I regenerated and reprogrammed myself. So now I speak as one having authority, dunamis power. Why? I look at the definition of the words. I know what they mean. And when you talk by your disposition, I know that you haven't looked at the definition of the words. I don't need to see no action. All I need to do is just see your body. When I look at a picture, that's why witches don't have pictures on Facebook. They know guys like me exist. Go to Facebook. Look at the profiles that don't have images. Those are Luciferian spirits. Everyone. Why do you not put an image? Because, see, an image captures your aura. It captures your vesture. That's why in hoodoo, they use your name and your image. You know that's all people need? You know the most dangerous thing that you can do is put your image on Facebook? Why? People like me, all I need is your image and your name. Any hoodoo, any witch, any Satanist, and Satanism 101, because your image, the people that are most tormented on this earth are the people that have the most images floating around. Go to Hollywood, talk to any actress, talk to any porn star, talk to any female who's ever did any modeling. They always feel like somebody's watching them. Why do they feel uncomfortable? In their own house with bars and guns, they feel uncomfortable because somebody's watching them. Brothers and sisters, that is in the lost books. It explains why you must be careful with pen and pixel. For you to over understand that the world that we live in, you know nothing about. That's all inside of these lost books that they tell you don't read. That's why they tell you don't read it, because it changes your image. You now speak with authority because you understand Colossians 1:15. You understand who is the image of the invisible God. So Yahushua, the real Yahushua, the militant, militaristic Judaism before the Armenians, before the Babylonians, and before the Romans got it. Yahushua was a trendsetter. Romans 8:29 tells me, for those for who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what I'm doing. I am conforming the mental image in my head to match. See, I would consider robbery to be equal with God. What does that mean? That means that I maintain a mental disposition based upon the spirit that is behind the letters of the word, not the letters. So you got letters, I take the spirit. Thank you very much. You keep the letters, I'm going to take the spirit. I don't do letters. Letters will kill you. Letters will get you killed. You can understand, my brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to express, expose, and expand. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said unto him, you are my son. Today I have become our father. I have become your father. And he says in another place, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now, I'm going to do a study on Melchizedek. I've done many studies on the order of Melchizedek. Most people don't understand the difference between Judah and the Levite, two brothers, and how Yahushua is in the lineage or in the line of Melchizedek. But he came for Judah. That's another study for another time. That is why it's so important that you study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Otherwise, my brothers and sisters, the enemy hides in the details. So you got to go into the details and get the spirit that is behind those details. Because that is the perfect high priest, because there's a battle going on between the priest and the peasants. What does that mean? Let me close with Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4. Hebrews 5, 4 says, and no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. Brothers and sisters, everything I do because I was called by God, not man. Devil can't touch me. When you are inside of your purpose, that is why I do Dear Kinnear reports. That's why I beg and I pray and I pray that everybody has their Dear Kinnear report. You ain't got to get it from me. I just simplified the process. You can get on your knees and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, and he'll lead you and guide you. The Dear Kinnear report tells you stuff about you that your mother and father didn't tell you. that nobody on earth can tell you, but you read it and it resonates with your spirit. So my dear Kinnear report told me when I was a young whippersnapper in the world that I was going to be doing what I'm doing right now. When I read my dear Kinnear report, I did what most people who read their dear Kinnear report do. If you're under the 21, the dear Kinnear report will do you no good. I did dear Kinnear report for my children. My daughter laughed. Same thing I did. So my dear Kinnear report tells me that the people right next to me will never feel loved. It's inside of them. I can bring my wife on the phone right now. You know what she's going to tell you? Yeah, I love him, but, you know, I don't really feel that he loves me. My children say the same thing. Before I read my dear Kinnear report, I was running around like a madman trying to please everybody because I wanted them to know how much I loved them. But because I'm called to the masses, if I didn't understand that, I still would be fulfilling the wrong purpose. I will be trying to please everybody, and I can't please everybody. That's not my purpose. So Hebrews 5:4 says, no one takes the honor to himself, but he receives it when he's called by God. Brother and sister, you don't know jack until you call by God, until you understand what it is. What does that mean? Hebrews 4:5-4. Even as Aaron was, so also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Just as he also, in another passage says, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, nobody knows nothing about him. That's what makes you powerful. What makes you powerful, brother, what makes you powerful, sister, is when you don't honor yourself. Nobody knows about you. I could go take a position in some university teaching classes. I could put my name in. I could do a lot of stuff with my quote-unquote education. But I know that would not put me in the order of Melchizedek. That would not put me in the lineage of Melchizedek, who was unknown. Nobody knows Melchizedek. Why don't anybody know anything about Melchizedek? Because God didn't want you to know anything about Melchizedek. Because Yahushua is in the lineage of Melchizedek. Because Melchizedek is called by God. He didn't get his endorsements from men. You must get your endorsements from God. You must get your DBA from your DNA. That's where I got mine from. So everything that I'm doing right now, I got it from my DNA. I went within. I found out what God has designed, called, and gifted me to do. Research comes natural for me. I don't do research. I am research. I live and breathe. I would rather research than eat. That's DNA. In my blood is the need to investigate and uncover truth. It's in my blood. Why? God put it there. That's the missing element. The missing element, the lost books of the Bible, it's not necessarily these books and reading them. Should you get these books and read them? Sure, in your spare time when you got a moment. Should you go out and invest a lot of money in these lost books? Absolutely not. Should you stay up late, get up early? Absolutely not. The lost books of the Bible is simply there to show you that the thing that you need, there are some things that you need that may not be inside of the canonized version of the Bible. Because there was a dark element that wanted to try to manipulate you or trick you. Your job is not to be tricked. Your job is to acknowledge it, thank the Father for showing you it, and move on. You got another lesson. This is just one of many. Your entire life is designed to see the tricks. the potholes in the road. That's why you're here. You're driving down the road. There's a bunch of potholes in them. Some potholes you can't see because of the fog. You will hit the pothole. You make the block. You hit the pothole again. You make the block. Then you remember, oh, man, left side of this street, last time I hit this pothole. You remember. You remember. So now you turn your steering wheel a little bit to the right, and you miss the pothole. And you come back around the street again, you do the same thing. You miss the pothole. Ah, okay, I figured out. There's a pothole on this street on the left, so when I come on this street, drive on the right. When you figure it out, tell everybody else. Hey, dude, when you go down that street, there's a pothole on the left. You want to steer to the right. Ain't nobody going to believe you. They're going to say, man, they just repaired their street. There's no potholes over there. But you did your job. You examined, you found the beam in your eye, you removed it, and then you shared it, try to help remove the speck out your brother's eye. 99.9% of the time, your brother's not going to believe you. That's okay. Still share it. Keep driving. You hit another pothole. Try to remember that pothole. So when you come back around again, oh, man, I was on this street. There was a pothole over there. That is called life. That is why we are here. These missing elements, these lost books of the Bible, this book called The Lost Books of the Bible, it is a great book. It is a great read. Again, I wouldn't pay more than $5 for it. You can pick it up at any used bookstore. I think it's available at Amazon, or you can Google it. The title of the book, again, is called The Lost Books of the Bible. One book, again, you can read online for free right now, which I highly recommend, which I read out of today, is The Gospel of Thomas. The Gospel of Thomas is a good book. Some people say that it's like the Gospel of Peace. They say it's a fictitious book, man-made. Could be. Thankfully, I don't worship the book. I don't worship the letters in the book. I read it, and I ask God, if there's anything in this book you need me to take out from it, please show it to me. If not, I will read it, and I'll put it in my bookcase along with all of the other books. It will sit up there and collect dust. My brothers and my sisters, I want to thank you so much. Went over time just a little bit. Again, it is my prayer. I'm sorry. I don't come on this show to try to talk down or condescending to anybody. Sometimes my tone come across that way. I do apologize. That is not my intent. Anybody knows me, that you know that I'm not that kind of a guy. But sometimes it just comes with the territory. It just comes with the territory. So sometimes I may come across a little angry. Or a little condescending or talking down, but that's not my intent. I love you, and I don't even know you. I pray for you. I pray for your family. I pray that nobody on this earth have to go through what I went through. It is my prayer that everybody listening to the sound of my voice, whether now live or 5, 10 years from now, it is my prayer that you simply just ask the Father to lead you and guide you in all truth. You can't really trust anyone. You can't really trust any spirit. You are in a tough position because we are children. We're babies in a celestial world with celestial entities that don't have our best interest in mind. They want to manipulate you and con you. They want to trick you. It is my prayer for you and your family that the Holy Spirit will continue to lead you and guide you in all truth. Brothers and sisters, I'm Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brother, as always, my sister, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Sad Productions.
Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me.
crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.
And when you go hard for the truth, you better watch your back for haters. Cause they'll sneak right behind you and look like an actual neighbor. When you got your mind on right, it seems like every day's a doomsday. Last week I found out my enemies, my roommate, don't care about what you say. Wasn't born on that Tuesday. Riding all through the night like I never seen a new day. If you do it better, do it right. Don't be worried about what some fools say. Don't be worried about what some fools say. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard.
I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.